Zafra Books presents Blood's Campaign, written by Angus Donald and read by David Thorpe. Part 1. Chapter 1. Sunday, August the 25th, 1689, 11 a.m. Captain Holcroft Blood dipped his quill in the inkpot. He gently shook off a drop of excess ink and, with his left hand, he straightened the large sheet of paper in front of him so that its bottom edge was exactly in line with the metal rim of the small folding camp table at which he sat. He composed his thoughts as best as he could in his present disordered state of mind, then wrote, Carrickfergus Encampment, Sunday the 25th of August, 1689. Madam, I have received the favour of your letter of the 17th instant, in which you inform me of the situation regarding the sad state of the spoons in Mincing Lane. He recharged his quill and continued, I am most sensible of the importance of keeping all the silverware in good order for the honour of the household, and I regret deeply that your distinguished guest, Jongheer Marcus van Dyck, was unkind enough to take notice of its poor quality when he dined with you and Lady Churchill earlier this month. I am therefore perfectly content that you should purchase an entirely new canteen of silver, should you believe the decrepitude of our existing set truly demands it. Holcroft wet the nib again, mentally girded up his loins, and scratched out, As I believe I have informed you on several occasions, you have full permission, as my wife, to draw the appropriate sum from the goldsmith, Richard Hoare, at the sign of the Golden Bottle in Cheapside. However, as I am engaged in the business of the ordnance in Ireland at present, indeed, as I am in the midst of a siege of the town of Carrickfergus, a dozen miles northeast of Belfast, I do not believe that I should be required to sanction every minor household expense. Holcroft paused and stabbed the nib into the inkpot again. He knew he had struck the wrong note. He sounded petulant, but such was the peculiar nature of his mind that he could not bring himself to tear up the sheet and start again. He was sitting in the spacious command tent of the English army in Ireland, and, for once, he was quite alone with his thoughts and his letter to his wife. Yet that unusual and most welcome solitary state had not improved his temper. He was, in truth, furious, but not with Elizabeth. His anger was directed at his commanding officer, General Frederick Hermann von Schönberg, Master General of the Ordnance, head of the English army in Ireland, and owner of this cool and comfortable canvas palace. The newly created Duke of Schomberg, the English could never pronounce his family name, was about to let a notorious French spy evade justice. Indeed, Schomberg was now parleying with representatives of the town's Irish governor, Charles McCarthy, a parley that was, to Holcroft's fury, almost certain to lead to the spy's escape. The Irish governor and his men were supporters of James Stuart, the recently deposed Catholic monarch of the three kingdoms of England, Scotland, and Ireland. And these men, known as Jacobites, maintained by force of arms that William of Orange, the Protestant prince who presently occupied the thrones jointly with his wife Mary, was a damned usurper. However, to Holcroft's mind, these supporters of King James were little better than criminals. James had abdicated the thrones when he departed from England for France the year before, after a most inglorious coup known paradoxically as the Glorious Revolution. Holcroft had decided, as had millions of his fellow countrymen, that King William and Queen Mary were de facto and de jure rulers of the three kingdoms. These Irishmen were therefore rebels. This peace conference with them today in Carrickfergus would likely lead to a surrender of the town and the evacuation of all defenders. The rebels would be allowed to march out of Carrickfergus with arms and honour intact. And the French spy, a man known by the codename Narray, would march out with them. General Schomberg had initially demanded unconditional surrender from the defenders, an offer which had been considered for the longest time before being politely refused. Holcroft knew, as well as the Duke did, that these Irishmen, more than 500 militiamen, had been ordered to delay the English army for as long as they could.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?